WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The man accused of shooting and killing two Israeli embassy staffers in Washington is now facing murder charges. Yaron Leshinsky was planning to propose to Sarah Milgram next week. Her father, Robert.
She was a peace builder. She has always, since college, she's had a very strong feeling for Israel, and she's also had a very strong desire to figure out and help to broker a peace.
At least three of six people on board a small plane that crashed in a San Diego neighborhood yesterday are confirmed dead. CBS's Carter Evans.
Looks like people are going to be out of their homes for some time here. Right now, this scene is being preserved by the police department and the FAA for the NTSB to come and complete its investigation.
A search is on in Ohio for four inmates who escaped from prison near Columbus last night. WBNS-TV's Kara Lake.
This is a minimum security facility. And when it comes to this facility, this is a prison diversion program for adult male offenders.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. UW Health has announced a new multi-year contract with Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. The contract was announced on Wednesday, and officials say it will guarantee healthcare access for Anthem members at various UW Health facilities across the state. According to a press release, the newly agreed-upon contract will cover employer-based, Medicare Advantage, Medicaid, and Affordable Care Act marketplace plans and gives members access to UW hospitals and clinics, as well as the UW Medical Foundation and the Madison Surgery Center. Following a statewide tour highlighting his administration's accomplishments in workforce development, Governor Tony Evers has renewed calls for support from the state legislature. Republican state lawmakers removed over 600 measures from the governor's proposed budget, including investments in apprenticeship programs, the Worker Connection Pilot Program, and the Workforce Innovation Grant Program. During the tour, Governor Evers also highlighted a new lawsuit against the Trump administration seeking to stop cuts to AmeriCorps. The Chippewa County Sheriff's Office is investigating the theft of multiple road signs in the area. According to a press release, Sheriff Travis Hakes received a call on Tuesday morning claiming that a stop sign in the county had been cut down and stolen overnight. Sheriff Hakes says it's the latest in a string of similar incidents over the last few months, and he is reminding residents that the theft of a roadway sign is a violation of state law. In addition to the criminal penalties, anyone involved in the theft of the road signs could face civil liability in the event of a crash. The city of River Falls is continuing consideration of annexing two properties along its border for a new housing development. The River Falls Common Council held a second public hearing on the proposal last week. If approved, the city would annex a Woodridge Drive property and Powell Avenue property from the town of Troy. According to city officials, the owner of the Powell Avenue property is also currently working with a developer on potential plans for a 24-unit twin home development. The Common Council will meet again on June 10th. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers get the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Despite a 1 hour and 50 minute rain delay, the Brewers held on to beat the Pirates 8-5 last night in Pittsburgh. Christian Yelich, who was 0-15, connected his first time up on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Hits one in the air to left. Back is Pham. Still back at the notch, and it is going to be gone. It's a home run for Christian Yelich, and the Brewers jump out in front 3-0.
Yelich with two home runs, Joey Ortiz with another, Aaron Savalier able to start, and Brewers right-hand pitcher Carlos Rodriguez awarded the win. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, Carlos deserves a lot, and Savalier gave us 70-some pitches and feels good with some experience. Joey Ortiz, but Yelich with the two homers, that's just so big.
NFL, the Packers wrapping up a week of off-season workouts. On Monday, Jordan Love will be in Milwaukee to throw out the first pitch at the Brewers game. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a really nice Memorial Day weekend on the way with plenty of sunshine, mid-60s Saturday, upper 60s on Sunday and Memorial Day. Maybe a few sprinkles later Memorial Day, but overall really nice. Today, sunshine with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time from beautiful Lake Wissota with Pat Kreitlow, also Peter Rapine from EFOM's World, talking about the Badger Honor Flight and even sports with Brady Ewing. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. 93.5 The Tap.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Happy Friday. We've made it to Memorial Day weekend, 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Friday, May 23rd, 2025. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot coming up in just a sec. And your chance to win 4 Brewers tickets to a game next Tuesday by texting us through the Civic Media app. Going to talk to you a bit about that as well. Also, of course, our Week in Review panel coming up with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and a couple of veteran Chicago journalists. So we're going to have to ask about how one Chicago newspaper learned the hard way how not to trust AI fully to write some of your copy. We'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly here about an hour from now. We'll talk a little bit of health news, guarding against preeclampsia, a condition during pregnancy that can lead to high blood pressure and serious impacts to mother and baby. So we'll ask our favorite OBGYN about that. We'll wrap up our second round of interviews with candidates for state Democratic Party chair, with William Garcia joining us as well. So a lot to get to today on a morning that is sunny, but still cool. 7 o'clock temps include 39 here in Chippewa Falls. It's 30 in Hayward, 40 in Amory. Wausau's at 38. It's 40 in Rapids, 44 in La Crosse. Green Bay's at 42. It is Madison's. It is 45 in Madison, where we find Mr. Parker Olson. It's 44 at Radio Park, where we find Mr. Greg Bach. And again, it is back in Wausau, 38 degrees, where Brittany Merlot has this delightfully sunny forecast for our Friday. Ms. Merlot, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you got planned for the weekend?
Oh, I'm actually hosting this weekend. I've got the family and friends coming up. I'm excited. We're going to do some kayaking, and we're also going to do some off-roading with the Jeeps. We're going to go to that park that we have here in Tigerton, so that'll be exciting. Otherwise, well, I mean, grilling.
Funny that you say that about the Jeep. Let me get to Rob. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's sunny and 41. It was 34 degrees at sunrise a couple hours ago. I mowed 6 yards in Tigerton. It was a sweatshirt and hoodie weather. And mm-hmm. then he goes on to say that yesterday, while I was mowing at a job near my mechanic Todd's shop, my cousin Donnie's Jeep broke down a block away, and I pulled his Jeep to Todd's shop with my Craftsman lawnmower right in the shop so my riding mower can pull a Jeep. Rob, way to go. Not all heroes wear capes, you know? We talked about Stevie Nicks having a birthday over the weekend here, and you talked about having a childhood crush on Stevie Nicks way back when. And he says, I hope my favorite morning show crew has a great Memorial Day weekend and take time to honor our really true heroes who gave their lives to protect us, protect our rights and our freedoms. I couldn't say it better myself, Rob. Thank you very much for that. So there you go. If you have any problems with the Jeep, you call Rob. He'll come out there with that Craftsman and he'll take care of you.
Rob, I'm in Kenosha. Come pick me up, buddy.
He does it all.
Yeah.
He really Kenosha does. Might be a stretch, but then again, given that craftsman, it just might. So back to the sunshine, right? But the cool temperatures that we've got for all those activities.
Yeah, so if that's the worst that we have to deal with is crisp, cooler mornings with frost advisories going out up north, I think that's not too terrible. We've got a gorgeous weekend here for the holiday weekend. Beautiful sunshine, a few scattered clouds out there, especially hanging out by Lake Michigan this morning. But otherwise, temperatures, sure, they're crisp. That frost advisory expires at 9 a.m. And then today, we are going to rise to those 60s, low 60s, far west, even into the north. You're going to see some 60-degree temperatures, and then some mid-50s off to the east as well. So we'll get another frosty night tonight, possibly again tomorrow night. But then those temperatures warm up, and we are looking at summer conditions returning by next week. But for this weekend, we've got nothing but sunshine today, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday. Looks like the rain chances are going to be holding off until late Monday. They don't really, really widespread push in until Tuesday now. So this is fantastic weather for the weekend. I'm usually used to forecasting some storms to dampen plans.
Yes, cold weather.
Like yeah.
I like storms to dampen plans. That is amazing turn of phrase.
Yes. I shortened it more with God hates campers. It always feels that way on some of these holiday weekends. It's like, why again? Why on these holiday weekends? It's like, is that the only explanation? It's a little chilly yet for a pontoon ride, but the pontoon is in. What are you crying about?
I want now.
I know. Well, then. Todd Alba, I'm sure, is thinking the same thing, because Todd Alba initially was going to do his show live from my pontoon somewhere in the middle of Lake Wissota.
Dude, I don't even, what are you, you're just, why do you ask for trouble and like poor Aaron Zommers?
But instead, we're going to go with the more stable Wi-Fi connection, and Todd Alba's show today is going to be from Lake Wissota, but out on my back deck. So we've got that with Lake Wissota in the background there. So, Brittany, hope it's a lot of fun for you this weekend, and we'll get an updated forecast in an hour.
Sounds good. You too.
All right. Let's give away some Brewers tickets, or at least we hope to. We've got four tickets that are going to be given away across the Civic Media Radio Network, all the shows statewide, and they're all going to text in a keyword using the Civic Media app, and the keyword is radio. So here's what you do. This is only for one particular Brewers game, and we're going to do this every Friday. This week, it's next Tuesday's game versus the Boston Red Sox. Four tickets. So one entry picked at random from those folks who use the Civic Media app, and text us the keyword radio. Be sure you do that. Be sure that radio is the only thing in the text, R-A-D-I-O. Nothing else that's in there. And be sure as well that you opt in to texts from Civic Media as part of it, because then you can get other chances to win as well for things like, you know, signing up for newsletters and things like that. The full contest rules are at civicmedia.us/contest-terms. Go to Civic Media US. You'll be able to find it. Tickets cannot be swapped for different days. And again, for next Tuesday's game, you can be a winner by texting radio to us there. Let's see. Also on online here, Alicia points out, let's remember it is not a weekend for veterans. It's for those who did not make it home. And I think that's sometimes an important distinction to make. And again, there's no, you know, ill intent involved here, but some folks think it's about all veterans. We have Veterans Day for that. We, of course, have the 4th of July, but Memorial Day is much more of a sacred thing. Yes, it's a long weekend where we can all have a little bit of fun and relax, but do take time to thank those men and women whose ultimate sacrifice allows us to have the kind of country that we do. Greg Bach is part of Matt Nair on Air, and that's coming up from 9 to 11 these days, right?
Uh-huh.
And, yep. Who you got coming on today, a familiar face at 10:06? You're going to recombobulate?
Actually, no. Dan is on vacation today, so there will be no. We'll just be discombobulated for until next Friday, and
I feel discombobulated throwing that toss at you. Then, oh,
no, that's
shame
fine,
on me,
because we have other guests coming up. It's going to be great. We're going to have a fun day. We're going to have Kyle Chisholm from the Madison Mallards. It's a Northwoods baseball team up. He'll be
love
on the show
the Mallards
talking about this upcoming season and specifically what they have in the way of, like, you know, fun theme nights. Because independent and minor league baseball does it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Major league baseball, you're fine at theme nights. But they do it in a way that is just purely like, hey, mom and dad are out of the town for this weekend. We're going to get crazy and weird. So he'll be on at 10:22 today. And then Tyler Moss, who is one of the co-founders and writers at the Milwaukee Record, will be here at 10:30 to talk about everything that's going on, not just this weekend in Milwaukee and the southeastern Wisconsin, but what's happening over the next month or so as we get closer and closer to summer. So that's going to be in our 10 o'clock hour. And then, of course, Pat, what would a day on Matt and on Air be without This Shouldn't Be a Thing at 10:50, where we kind of look at a fun new story and ask the question, does this actually need to be? So, yeah. All that coming up at 9 this morning.
Love Northwoods League baseball. Yeah. Eau Claire Express. Parker, I'm sure you've been to a game or two from some Northwoods teams.
I'm a camera operator for the Mallards, actually, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've been to a couple Mallards games. Those are great as well. So, yep, a lot of good stuff coming up for baseball. Also coming up today on the Maggie Dawn Show, Terry Barr will be on to talk about what's good and local and overlooked. And then more Terry Barr. It's Barr Band Friday on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. And it says here that she'll be introducing Pete and the listeners to a band that started playing together in high school. They've now graduated but are still together and doing great. They have new music out and earned a spot at the biggest music festival around, Summerfest. So good on them. And that leads me to this online comment, and I can't vouch for this. I shouldn't necessarily be, you know, reading things blindly, but just in case, Oz puts, my band is at the Thirsty Badger Saturday night. Come and I'll buy you a beer. My cows and I listen every morning. Thanks. So, Oz, wherever the Thirsty Badger is, there's a band playing there. Ask for Oz.
And
he'll buy you a beer.
What's the name of your band? Is it called Wizard of Oz? I mean, that sounds like a fun name for a band.
It probably had some trademark thing, you know, those lawyers. Santel's listening in. You probably can't do something like that. So we'll ask him about it after the break here. In sports, at Major League Baseball, Christian Yelich had two home runs as the Brewers beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 8-5 in a game interrupted by rain for nearly 2 hours last night. For Yelich, it was his 11th multi-homer game of his career. Joey Ortiz added his second home run of the season for the Brewers. The series will continue tonight. It's a four-game series, game two, coming up this evening, and you can hear it across some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. Paul Skeens, the Pittsburgh ace, versus Freddie Peralta. Although Paul Skeens is, last year he was completely unhittable. Where did this kid come from? And this year he's kind of fallen back to earth a little bit, but so it'll be Paul Skeens versus Freddie Peralta, a true pitcher's duel. Somebody's winning this game 1-0 is probably how this is going to go. 5:05 tonight, so if you love great pitching, and I do, this would be one of those games to expect across the Civic Media Radio Network. The NBA playoffs are going on as well. The only thing we're following is somehow the Minnesota Timberwolves made it to the Western Conference Finals, but they are already down 2-0 against Oklahoma City as that series continues to find out who goes into the NBA Finals. Now, one more thing I wanted to tell you over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. So many stories there, including my latest on the House Republican budget plan that passed yesterday and all of the many ways that big, beautiful bill is not so beautiful for Wisconsin, the real impacts there. Also on the website, everything you wanted to know about brats. Yep, it's all about brats as to kick off the Memorial Day weekend as well. So that and much more coverage over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Our week in review panel is coming up next. I get so excited to see them sometimes that I get ahead of myself. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wasota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic... Greg, what did I just do? What did I do?
You said Civic... Wait, what?
What time is it? I was tossing a minute early.
But hey, guys, let's just get on the pontoon boat and float into the lake with soda. We got like more than 50 seconds, Pat. And I also You're good. You're all good, buddy. I thought you said the wrong name of the show, or like, you know, called me Steve. I'll be like, what are you doing?
No, as I'm tossing, I'm like, I'm not hearing the music come up. And yeah. I'm just like, wait a minute. And right here, this is my first big, ever since I made this post-it note to tell me when the commercial breaks are, I have been practically perfect until now. It's history.
Oh my God.
This segment also going to the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. You're welcome. I'd like to thank the Academy. Let me try this again. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network for Reals.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Senator Tammy Baldwin presses EPA head Lee Zeldin on Great Lakes funding at a hearing on Capitol Hill. The exchange came just 1 week after Clean Wisconsin, the Healing Our Waters Coalition, and Alliance for the Great Lakes met with Baldwin to stress the importance of fully funding the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Zeldin ended up going on record saying the protections would be funded. Wisconsin's muskie season is here. Northern muskie season opens May 24th and runs through the end of the year. This is the 70th anniversary of the muskellunge being proclaimed our official state fish back in 1955. The biggest muskie ever caught was in 1949 near Hayward, weighing in more than 69 pounds. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. You just came from an OBGYN conference.
They had a lube bar because there are lots of different kinds of personal lubricants that you can use.
When you say lube, do you need that to give birth the woman?
No, it's for sex. I recommend generally a water-based lube.
Are you writing this down, Conrad?
Conrad cannot speak right now.
Is he blushing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Less than 10 seconds. Let's head over to the comment section here. Tony writes on YouTube about Todd Alba doing a show from my back deck this afternoon from 2 to 4. With a guest appearance from Pat, or are you going to lock him out there on the deck? That's a great question, Tony. And I'm not going to answer it for you right now. Let's just see what Todd is like when he gets here. But yeah, Todd Alba doing a show right here from Lake Wissota, 2 to 4 out on the back deck. Maybe we'll get the grill going. In the meantime, as Adam puts on YouTube, Week in Review is the best segment on all of Civic Media. No kidding. Look at this lineup right here. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and Chicago journalists Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob. How are we doing, team?
Excellent. Thank you.
We're doing well.
We missed you missed everybody for the last couple of weeks.
I know. Mark, you were traveling as well. And, Jim's got a full-time job just trying to track all of the legal cases that are out there. So I think he needed a break, but it's nice to have all of you here. And yes, we do normally start with news coverage of politics and things, but Jim, we'll get back to that in a second, but I've got these two Chicago journalists. I have to start with this one. the Chicago Sun-Times runs a summer reading list and says, let's use AI, artificial intelligence. And we've been part of that debate. Every newsroom, I'm sure, has debated, how do you use AI? And Mark, let's start with you, because it came out and it turned out that what most or all of the summer reading book lists were phony, that AI just like made stuff up for their summer reading list. Is that right?
Yeah, but it fills in all the blanks for you, doesn't it, Pat? It definitely will do it. So if you ask it, you know, give us a summer reading list and you don't check it, that's what you get. What you get is real authors, but fake books, which 10 of the 15 books that they recommended don't even exist.
Oh,
and just to be really clear, this was a product of the Hearst Company, which sells it to individual newspapers, this kind of a special section that they can put in their newspapers. The problem was that it didn't say that, and so the Sun-Times kind of took the hit on it. It was also in the Philadelphia Inquirer, by the way, so it's not just a Sun-Times problem, but it certainly is a Sun-Times problem.
Yes.
Because what I used to tell my reporters that when I was an editor is that your product is not ink on paper. It's not even a web page. Your product is your credibility. It's being trustworthy. And once it's hard to gain, easy to lose.
Jennifer, did you literally bring one or two hands up to your forehead when you first heard about this, like I think other people did, or at least metaphorically?
So I saw it really early the morning that it was starting to light the internet on fire. And I did everything I could to try to figure out if the posts that I was looking at were actually real, because I could not believe it. But like Mark, I did used to also work at the Chicago Sun-Times, and I know that it and many newspapers across the country still rely on insert content from other providers. And so I know that they've run this summer insert for years, and I believe it's been created by the same by Hearst all those years, and they run others too. Their entire medical health section is content from somebody else. That's not unusual in today's newspaper business. But as soon as people started saying, wait a second, these authors are real, but these books aren't, I just started Googling it myself. And immediately the first one on the list is Isabella Allende, and she did not write this book. But you know what I did when I got home, because I was out when this happened? I put the name of the book into Google, and the exact same description came up on the AI that fuels Google that was in that book. So you've got to ask yourself, and I hope everybody does, what is AI telling you, and how much of it is wrong? And for God's sakes, people, scroll down to legitimate sources.
Yes, check everything. Tony puts it really well from Ashland. AI could write those books that don't exist, so then they would exist. I guess that's one way to look at it.
Great idea.
But unmonitored AI, he writes, is never a good idea. And it is not just journalism, Jim. I know people are writing legal papers, decisions, reports. They're trying to get ChatGPT to help them. And discovering, as I did, I tried this one time. I thought, let's do the This Day in History thing. And I asked for like celebrity birthdays and number one songs and everything for whatever the date was, May 23rd. Everything on the list was wrong. It was completely made up, which tells you have to know the parameters you're putting in to something with AI. Because if you don't, Jim, I mean, this is only the beginning of AI nightmares for the legal profession as well.
It is, and not that there's great sympathy for lawyers out there who make the same mistakes that the Chicago and Philadelphia papers are making, but there are more than a few of them who've gotten in great trouble for citing cases in written briefs submitted to courts on substantive issues, real litigation, and it turns out that Santel versus Kreitlow, and in particular, appeals court in Wisconsin, never happened, and they cited for particular propositions of law. The judges and the law clerks look at it and say, this is not real. And the lawyers get in big trouble. Basically, it's a violation of your oath. It's no small deal.
No. And look, it's not going anywhere, AI. And so like every other new tool, Mark, I don't think it's a matter of banning it, whether it's teachers, law professors, editors, whatever. But if this is going to be around, you got to get it right.
Yeah. you just need to know how to use it. It's to me, it's comparable to what I used to tell reporters about in Wikipedia, which is what I said is great place to start, terrible place to finish.
There you,
go. That if you look at it for the references or to get a general idea of something, fine. Then go do your reporting.
Yep.
But if you're going to like take it, you know, as gospel, you're going to be in big trouble. And AI is the same way. I mean, I've suggested that people use it for outlines for stories, or if they don't know much about a subject and they just want a general description, get that. But check everything out. I mean, it makes mistakes.
That's right. We're just getting started with our week in review panel. Also coming up yet, Kristen Lyerly, William Garcia, another check-in with the forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. And you can win tickets to next Tuesday's Brewers game. We're picking one entry statewide. Text the keyword radio on the Civic Media app. More coming up after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
So with Memorial Weekend on the horizon, I'm going to take a guess that some of you might actually be going camping. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. Well, if you're planning on camping near a farm, you might want to take a look at some Wisconsin regulation related to that farm. Sheila Everhart, executive director of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, says even innocent farmers that are allowing you to pitch a tent on their land could fall victim to an outdated piece of state legislative law.
Well, we are working on changing legislation that was changed in 2017. Previously, if you had 0 to 3 sites, you did not need a campground license. Farmers are not campgrounds. People who want a farm stay on a farm are a different clientele than those that want to go to a campground. And we are looking at the flexibility and the opportunity for small family farms to be able to generate a little additional revenue stream.
That's Sheila Everhart, executive director of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. She says, as it stands right now, under Wisconsin law, farms that have 4 or more campsites, or even those with 1 to 3 if advertised as a campground, fall under the oversight of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, would require permits as well as inspections.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from 4 geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
And reaction came swift yesterday from farm organizations and commodity groups after the Make America Healthy Again Commission released their report. From the International Dairy Foods Association, they said that they are hoping that the commission develops its strategy to tackle childhood chronic disease and urge the commission to embrace sound science and evidence throughout the process. More to come. I'm PM Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have a really nice Memorial Day weekend on the way with plenty of sunshine, mid-60s Saturday, upper 60s on Sunday and Memorial Day. Maybe a few sprinkles later Memorial Day, but overall really nice. Today, sunshine with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, they tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we update all the latest news, lightening things up in hour number two. We talk to the Madison Mallards and Tyler Moss from Milwaukee Record. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Checking out some of the texts you're sending in here from Tom in New Berlin. Pat, tomorrow going to place flags at Woods Memorial, honoring our lost heroes at the cemetery there. Thank you, Tom, for doing that. And please represent all of us well as we take a moment to honor those whose sacrifice gave us the freedoms that we still enjoy to this day and must continue to defend, I would add. From Carmela in Milwaukee asking, Pat, what time is the giveaway Brewers game on Tuesday? I should have said that. It is an evening game. 6:40 will be the Brewers versus the Red Sox next Tuesday. And so today's keyword is radio. And folks on this show and across the Civic Media Radio Network, people who use the Civic Media app, text in radio. One of those entries will get 4 free tickets to next Tuesday evening's game versus the Boston Red Sox. Meanwhile, the Brewers tonight are in Pittsburgh. Game 2 of that series coverage starts at 5:05 tonight. Continuing on now with our panel, Mark Jacob, Jim Santel, Jennifer Schulze. Jennifer,
yes?
Let's not spend a lot of time on this one, but let's make it said that the so-called crypto dinner that President Trump had last night, where he hosted all these people who quite literally put money in his pocket and his family's pocket buying his phony crypto coins, even though it was done, even though corruption is done right out in the open, this still may be, from a dollar value, the most corrupt night in American politics. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
And let's guess maybe a quarter of the country knows about it, and yeah, maybe even fewer care. I wish that news organizations, somebody somewhere, would have like a ticker where they are keeping track of all of these payoffs and the money that he's collecting while he's president. It seems to me every day I read about somebody writing him a check. And last night was the check of all checks. It's just incredibly, it's mind-boggling. I'm so speechless.
So Mark, why was American media this week not talking about that nonstop? And why are we talking instead about a book about Joe Biden's health for a guy who's currently, last I checked, not the president of the United States?
Why are we talking about last year's story instead of the gigantic, you know, 5-alarm fire that's going on right in front of us? Good question, Pat. I have no idea. I think that some people view crypto as a little hard to understand. But I mean, this is just, bribery is not hard to understand.
Right.
I mean, a real good example of the in the crypto dinner he had last night was this Chinese-born crypto mogul who had he was being investigated by the Securities and Exchange Commission, and his case got put on hold in February, which means it's not canceled, but it's not going forward. He gave a ton of money to Trump to attend this dinner, which means could bribery be any more clear what's going? I mean, it's just appalling, and people need to understand it, and the media need to help them.
Right. But instead, he continues to get away not just with the corruption, but with the illegal activities in office, Jim, which there have been just a flurry of, rulings on that and court hearings. And I mean, could you have possibly picked a better time to have a weekend radio show about legal matters than what you've got right now? What are this week's include? Who the president can fire, not fire? Whether you can get rid of the Department of Education? On and on it goes this week. This week alone.
Is, It is truly breathtaking, and it is difficult. I know all of us suffer from the same problem when you do any broadcast, which is the cutting room floor. And on a regular basis, as we put our broadcast together, you identify 17 things, and you think each one of these is shocking and stunning and needs to be talked about, and you simply don't have enough time, much less breath, to talk about all of them. We've got, again, just this past week, they fall under the category of things that federal district court judges are doing. Yes, indeed, we've got a judge who stopped the Trump administration from dismantling the education department. It's a district judge out of Massachusetts, and likewise says that the record reveals that the defendant's true intention is to dismantle the Department of Education without statutory authority. In other words, there's Congress said you can't do this, and yet we're doing it. That's one, Pat, of so many of them that we have seen recently. And each one of them affects human beings. That's the point of this. Affects residents and citizens of our nation. They're all critically important. And we simply don't have enough time in anyone's 24 hours to keep up with all of it.
No, but again, it's important to try, because what we need are courts that consistently say to a president, when they cross a certain line, you can't do that, whether it's deporting people without due process, or in the case of Harvard now saying Harvard can no longer accept international students. Yeah, they can. You can't do that as president. But of course, it gums up the works until you can get a court to say otherwise. There was also a ruling with the Supreme Court, an interesting 4-4 split decision. Yes. That the gist of it is that Oklahoma cannot receive or give state funding to a Catholic religious virtual school. Again, a case of you can't do that, but folks noticed that conservative Justice Amy Coney Barrett recused herself from that case.
Right, right. And she made that decision. Good for her. Take note, Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito, that there are those circumstances where maybe for an appearance of impropriety reason, you shouldn't be deciding these cases because you've got some affiliation with the parties. Here she has some affiliation with some of the litigants in front of her, maybe based upon her time at Notre Dame, advisor to the school, that sort of thing. Good for her to do that, but it does result in this 4-4 split. And what that means is, in the end, the lower court decision, which said, no, if you're a religious charter school, you can't get government funds. This is basic separation of church and state. Congress will make no law establishing a religion, nor can the states. So it's an affirmation, just by virtue of the default here, that the Constitution means something. The side story in all this is, who is the other person? Again, this is another one of these unsigned orders. The speculation is, it's mine as well, that it may have been the Chief Justice, which would be stunning, because he has been leading this effort to try to basically erase the separation between church and state, talking about discrimination against religion as opposed to entanglements of government and religion. The upshot is that this case, again, for today, is over, and we've got a strong affirmation of that separation, but it's going to come back in one shape or another, maybe in a term or two. We're not done with religious issues before the Supreme Court.
Let's switch gears, Mark, and talk about Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. and this alleged examination into chronic diseases. And again, we have a sense of the quackery that he is going to try to put out. So let's look at it through the prism of whether American media simply regurgitates it, plays stenographer, or gives it a more critical eye.
Yeah, the initial New York Times headline on this was, you know, Trump and RFK Jr. talk about the sickest generation in American history, you know, that the kids are all sick today and all this. And I thought, well, you know, really? I mean, is that based on anything? And I went back and looked at child mortality rates, you know, and in 1800, 46% of children didn't make it to their fifth birthday. It was 23 or 24% in 1900. It's under 1% now. So what is he talking about? I mean, this is one of those things where, you know, it sounds good. And you know, the interesting thing is the New York Times rewrote their headline eventually. They finally came up with the realization that this sickest generation in American history thing was just not true. And so finally, the New York Times decided not to put it in the headline, which is, you know, a real problem where, you know, the Trump people say something and the media just kind of go ahead and just swallow it whole and regurgitate it.
Well, and Jennifer, same to you, the critical eye that let's bring it to the local media level as well, that it used to be, if a president or a Health and Human Services secretary said something, you could pretty well provide attribution and say HHS secretary says such and such, but you really can't do that one degree of reporting anymore. You really have to put a filter on it.
Well,
what they're saying true.
Right. And you'd think that everybody would get that this is an issue. I mean, come on. We're in the second Trump administration. We know how much he lies, but I am still astounded, like Mark was yesterday with that New York Times headline, how frequently it still happens that there is no fact-checking and context in these headlines, and they just immediately splash out, Trump says, Kennedy says, and it would take you 30 seconds to know that what they're saying is not true. You could write that in your headline. Why is that not the automatic reaction to any of this news coverage? I do not understand. Is it because they're trying to do it so fast? I don't think so. But I don't know why. It's terrible, whatever the reason. It's terrible.
Well, there's a lot of, I don't know if laziness is the right idea or the right word, not just for reporting, but Mark, also for politicians. You have a Republican Party that has always talked about their deficit hawks. It's all right. About fiscal discipline. And the thing that they passed yesterday morning, you know, the $1 trillion in cuts, but we want to give away so much in tax relief, we're going to add $3 to $4 trillion to the deficit. Where is the howling other than from maybe two or three members of the House and two or three members of the Senate? I mean, they're throwing 40 years of Republican orthodoxy out the window.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, for decades, you've heard, you know, tax and spend Democrats, you know. Well, these are spend Republicans. I mean, they don't tax rich people, you know, but they're happy to spend the money that they didn't take in. And in the first Trump administration, this was him boasting about having the best economy ever and all that crap. And it was a pretty fairly decent economy for the first part of his term. Yet they still ran a gigantic deficit. You know, a quarter of the the public debt was created by Trump in the first term, and now they're doing it some more. I mean, it's and when is the public and when will the media throw away the notion that the Republican Party wants to balance the budget? They obviously don't. They don't care about that. They just care about rewarding their rich donors, really, mm-hmm. and sticking it to the poor.
Right. And that, you know, that gets us into messaging that Democrats have to do. And that's fine. That's their battle. But I would like to at least see reporters, you know, and newsrooms making sure that there's this distinction between the rhetoric and the reality. Time for one last thing. And Jim, I'll come to you on it. This latest Supreme Court case on the schools and others is continuing a troubling trend of coming through something called the shadow docket rather than the traditional way of issuing opinions. What is it and why is it concerning?
It's a huge problem. It's a challenge for Americans who now have a Supreme Court that at breakneck speed is issuing decisions about major issues, and they're not giving you the reasons why. And it's a part of this shadow docket. Yes, it's the emergency docket. The notion is it's begun principally in Trump 1. It's always been out there, but really revved up. This notion that we can't possibly live another day with an unfavorable ruling at the lower level. Step in, Supreme Court, overturn that, tell them they're wrong, and we can get on with our lives. And when you do that, you lose all of the debate, you lose the oral argument, you lose the lawyers, and the American public loses because you don't know why a major branch of government is making decisions without clarity and without transparency.
All right, you can get more of that on Amicus Law Review live Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on Civic Media stations around Wisconsin. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. Mark Jacobs' newsletter is at stopthepresses.news, and Jennifer Schulze's Indistinct Chatter is at Substack. Look up at News Jennifer for that. Panel, it's so great to be back. You guys make it so fun. I actually wanted to come back from vacation for you guys. I mean, to a point.
Right.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
All right. Dan Schumacher is going to look at sports after this. We'll be back.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Their work to drive visitation and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover our great state, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. To learn more about what these great organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's a Friday morning. It's May 23rd. It's Memorial Day weekend, and one of my favorite places to spend a holiday weekend like this would be heading upriver up the Chippewa here to the Mallard Resort, where we tend to spend our time at the little pub there, but there's also some cabins there as well. And that's where we find one Dan Schumacher, who's joining us to talk a little bit about sports. The man's kind of living the dream right there, up there on the Mallard. Any other big plans for the weekend, sir? Are you here?
I got a flat tire.
Okay. You got a flat tire?
A flat tire.
All right, well, that's a plan. on the truck or what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got off the phone with Martel Township. Why? I got a slow leak. I must have a nail on the tire. So what a way to start off the weekend.
Well, you know, better now than in the middle of it. And you're going to Martel there in downtown Chippewa, which is, you know, my favorite tire shop and take care of me for 30 years there. Right. So yeah, but take care of that. And then if you've got the boat in, right, on the river? Is your boat in?
I don't have my boat in yet, but I plan on putting it in by tomorrow.
Okay. All right. So look at this, guys. Full of weekend plans here.
I got chores to do for a weekend, you know.
Okay. So, well, Well, you know what?
We could talk about our first place Cubs, right?
Our first place Cubs? No. Oh, geez. That's,
Dan, we can't hear you. You're fading out there.
Seems to be a problem here. Yeah. Tony in Ashland says Fat Tire is a good beer. No, Tony. We're talking about Flat Tire. I don't think there's a brew for that. Oh, look at that. Dan's headed outside to the lovely Mallard Resort there where he's hanging out. So your Cubs are in first place. Meanwhile, for the Brewers, Christian Yelich had his 11th multi-homer game of his career, homered twice to help the Brewers beat the Pirates 8-5 in a game interrupted by rain for nearly 2 hours last night. Joey Ortiz also had a home run, his second of the season. And the series continues with the game in Pittsburgh tonight with Pittsburgh ace Paul Skeens taking on Milwaukee ace Freddie Peralta. 5:05 is when the pregame begins on Civic Media radio stations across the state. So we've got that coming up. What do you know what your Cubs are doing this weekend?
I don't know who they're playing, but I know we're up by 3 games over the Cardinals, and we're 5, and you Brewers are 5.5 back.
Okay.
So, yep. Thank you for that. We appreciate the reminder.
Look, you got to get these things in when you can. Yeah. Obviously. So the Cubs are there now, and look, Greg, you were the one who said when Craig Counsell went over, don't underestimate Craig Counsell.
I absolutely said that. I stand by it, and that's great. But at least they're still beating the Cardinals. I mean, we all get together and be happy that the Cardinals are being denied any sort of happiness right now.
We can agree on that, Dan, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okay. See, we got that going.
Greg, did you see the announcement on August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd with the Grateful Dead going to play Golden State Park?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't afford the $6,500 it costs to see that show. Billy Strings, Trey Anastasio Band, the Grateful Dead, and some other group I can't think of right now, but it's for the total package that includes everything, it's $6,500.
So I got word that it was going to happen beforehand,
yeah, right,
before they made the announcements. So I already booked a hotel for $107 a night.
Whoa.
Mile away from park. I know that the tickets are going to cost something, so I can't buy tickets yet. But I at least got my housing, and then I booked a flight for $200 round trip.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Four hours later, they made the announcement. My hotel shot, even though I got it in at 107, it went to $365 a night, and the flights just doubled.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, it's good to have a little inside info there. That's a fan. That's fandom right there. Oh, by the way, Dan, I don't think you've met Parker Olson yet. Parker's joining the show family as well for helping to produce the show. And Parker, when Dan joins us, it's ostensibly to talk about sports. Somehow it always wanders into Grateful Dead, which I don't know nearly. I just simply listen to them for this period every week and learn about your musical forefathers or something like that. So when is this trip?
August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just so and I make
portrayed like that because they celebrate 60 years. Okay.
Yeah.
60 years of the band. 60 years ago, they used to give, along with Jefferson Airplane and some of the other older, bands in the 60s, they used to play concerts for free at the Golden Park. So they're trying to replicate that without the free.
Yeah.
They charge a little bit more than they do. Well, it's like earlier in the week, we played the Rolling Stones from 60 years ago this week. They were on Shindig, and we played a clip from that. And I ask repeatedly on the show, and I say it again, who are we going to be talking about in, not 60 years from now, but, 20, 30 years from now and say, I cannot believe they're still performing together the way that they are. Or will they be? Will bands simply not have the staying power that the ones do from, the 60s and 70s?
We're celebrating the 60th anniversary of Weezer. All right.
hey, when you look at it, I mean, Bob Dylan and Willie Nelson are still performing on a tour.
Yeah, yep. Bob Dylan has a birthday tomorrow. Turns 84 tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, it's Well, music must have been very, very good to them.
You can say that again. Yep. Hey, before I forget again for this hour, one more reminder, text the keyword radio to us through the Civic Media app. We will draw one entry statewide to win four tickets to next Tuesday evening's game versus the Boston Red Sox. Get the complete rules at civicmedia.us. Dan, we've got Todd Alba doing a show from my back deck from 2 to 4. So feel free to come on by for that. Otherwise, I will come looking for you upriver a little bit later on.
That sounds good. Hey, can I just make one statement?
Yeah.
So Friday, the Northland College closes. So yes. It's been pretty sad. Graduation is this weekend. My contract ended and whatnot. So all the people, people in Ashland, the community, the alumni, the students, the faculty, the staff. It really was. It's really tough. And I just I appreciated my time and getting to know Ashland, Wisconsin. It was a good adventure, two-year adventure. And
good people. Yep. Dan, thank you for that. And again, well, I'll get you beer for a little later on here. So take care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The president shocks the markets, posting on social media last hour he'll slap a 25% tariff on iPhones if Apple doesn't move manufacturing to the U.S. Mr. Trump broached the subject last week in Qatar.
We've treated you really good. We put up with all the plants that you built in China for years. India can take care of themselves. They're doing very well. We want you to build here.
He's also threatening 50% tariffs on imports from the EU. Dow futures down 606 right now. We're learning the small plane crash in a residential neighborhood of San Diego yesterday. CBS's Carter Evans.
We understand the plane may have clipped a power transmission line on the way down before it hit the ground here and then skidded down the street, leaking fuel and creating essentially a streak of fire.
At least three of the six people on board were killed. The suspect in the shooting deaths of two Israeli embassy staffers in Washington has now been charged with murder. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.